Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that shows how you empowered your people to do all things for your glory, for your honor. And Lord, I think of the prophets in the Old Testament where you strengthen them, one to outrun a horse, a chariot, God. And I'm praying for your strengthening now, Lord, for me, that you would strengthen my body, that you would help me to think clearly and consistently. Lord, help me to be led by your Spirit. And I pray for those who are hearers, God, those that are maybe struggling with sickness as well, that you would help them to focus and concentrate, God. That would be just as much a miracle as what happened in the Old Testament many times with the prophets. So God, would you please strengthen us today to be able to receive from you. And Lord, I would ask that you would cause this word to grow deep in our hearts, Lord, and bear fruit so that you would be glorified. God, do this miracle today in our midst, God, as we stand in awe of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said last week, welcome to Bullfrog Church for the second week in a row. How many of you are struggling with colds? Anybody struggling? Andrew, still? This is a nasty one. I had a cold for a week last week. I thought I was done with it. And Sunday started feeling pretty good last Sunday. And then Sunday evening, I got hit again. Lisa thinks I got sick with a second type of cold. So it's been like 2 weeks for me, now going on more than 2 weeks. And it's nasty. But it's amazing what God will use to accomplish his will. I was just talking to someone in the hallway, and they were saying how, I'm so glad you decided to take a third week on forgiveness because you answered the exact questions we needed answered. And I said, well, it's really God's grace, because if I wasn't sick, I wouldn't have been doing this. I would have gone somewhere else. And so I just see God's hand on even in things like this, that you just smile and say, God, you're so in charge. And as I was going through this, the last couple of weeks, I was, you know, the Spirit of God really led me. And I realized how, I guess I didn't look at it before, but how colds affect every area of your life. And even when you think they don't, like you're kind of better. Like I got up this morning, I felt good. And I walked from the corner of the parking lot here, and I'm starting to get dizzy and lightheaded. And I'm going, wow, I thought I was okay. And those effects were still there. And I realized that unforgiveness is like having a constant cold. There are effects that it has in your life, some more obvious than others. And many times when we think that we're finally, we don't have any effects, is when they kind of catch up and raise their ugly head. And I realize that, man, this unforgiveness can be persistent like a cold. It's always there. It's permeating the every little corner of our lives. And I realize, too, that we see God in his goodness and in his kindness commands us to forgive people who have hurt us, because he wants us to be healthy. And he knows how unhealthy unforgiveness is. And so what he does is he commands us to forgive. And then by the power of his Spirit who indwells all believers, he enables us to do the impossible in some cases, which is forgiving people who have hurt us very deeply. But God loves us enough not to just leave us there. And he says, now, walk in forgiveness. And so what I'm going to do is go back a couple of weeks. If you're a guest here today, we started this series actually 2 weeks ago. This will be part three. And 2 weeks ago, we were talking about when you have an area where you have to forgive someone who has hurt you, there are some foundational truths we need to embrace in order to do that in a biblical way. And the first one was, in order to make it easier to forgive others, we need to remember and consider the forgiveness that God has freely given us in Christ. That's the foundational truth. That as you have been forgiven, so forgive. So what we see is that in order for us to be able to forgive those who have hurt us, we have to remember the huge debt that we owed. And what Christ did is He came, He died on the cross, and He erased that debt. And so when we consider what others owe us because of them hurting us, we would remember what we have done and what Christ has done for us. And we look at that and we say, okay, now because of that great forgiveness I've received from God, I can extend forgiveness to others. And so that was a foundational truth we said in order to be able to forgive others. The other foundational truth we talked about was the fact that we need to remember and trust in the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign. That even the difficult things that happen in our lives, God has a plan in them. My cold this last week brought this particular message. So if you see God really ministers to your heart today and you go, well, that was perfect, praise God for what happened to me this week because we wouldn't have been here. And God knew. But we looked at, we trusted in God's sovereignty to be able to forgive others. Joseph said, brothers, you meant this for one thing, but God meant it for good. And it's not that God causes any man to sin, but man's sin does not deter God's will in this world and in our lives. And so we look at that and we go, you know what, we need to do this. And if you remember, this is a term I used. We need to have practical theology, put our theology in practice, not just talk about it. So if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we have to live in such a way that it shows that we believe God is sovereign over all things. So that was 2 weeks ago. Last week we were talking about the fact that if you truly have forgiven someone, really forgiven them, there'll be evidence that you really forgave them. And some of that evidence was this, that we will choose not to hurt the reputation of the person who offended us, who hurt us. We won't speak ill of them. We won't try to put them down. Sometimes we try to get around it by saying, well, I technically didn't tell anybody what they did to me or what they said or whatever. But what happens is it's not just that. It's the idea of not being angry in your heart, so then you're not pulling down their character or attacking them or trying to ruin their reputation. So that's one of the fruits of what we call biblical forgiveness, is that the person who is forgiving the other person chooses not to hurt the offender's reputation. The other thing we talked about is to treat the offender with kindness. We talked about how the Scripture says that the kindness of God leads men to repentance. And this is also a picture of the gospel. As we treat those who have hurt us with kindness, then that is a reflection of what God has done to us. And also that whole idea of kindness, we said that we understand there's certain parameters on the level of trust and things like that and relationship between what happened, what they actually did to hurt you. And if you want more information, you'll have to go back into last week and get that. We talked about another fruit of biblical forgiveness was that you would extend mercy to the offender. That you would extend mercy, not grace. They wouldn't have to earn it. You wouldn't force them to say, well, if they do this, or if they say this, then I will forgive. Because that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is a picture of us receiving undeserved mercy and grace from God. And we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. And it's the same thing when we extend forgiveness to others, is that we don't put a requirement on it. When they say this, then I'll forgive. Or when they do this, then I'll forgive. We don't do that. Instead, we extend mercy to those who have hurt us. And finally, the fourth area that we talked about as far as fruit of biblical forgiveness is that forgiveness is permanent. It's not temporary. We use Joseph as an example. At the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph's father dies and the brothers are afraid that now Joseph will get even with them because dad is dead. And Joseph basically said, no, we're good. So when we forgive someone, it is to be permanent, not temporary. And so those were some of the evidences of biblical forgiveness. When we look at this, we realize that God has called all believers to forgive those who have hurt them. But that does not mean that reconciliation is automatic. It does not mean that that relationship will be patched up. And the main reason is this, that reconciliation can only happen when the person who has hurt us repents and gets right with that situation. Then true reconciliation can happen. But that's not automatic. It's not automatic that they'll repent. Take a look at God's Word. There's just a couple of pictures of people not repenting. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You notice, if your brother, so this is within the Christian community, there's a sense that sometimes people sin against us and maybe they don't realize it. So we need to approach them. We need to say, hey, I just need to talk to you because this is when you did this, this is what happened. I felt hurt. I was wounded by that. So there's a sense that sometimes people don't know. And as we talked about last week, we have to be careful that our skin isn't just real thin. You know, oh, yeah, I want to need to talk to you. You know, last Sunday you were at church and you didn't say hi to me. And you wonder why the person looks at you and goes, okay. You know, that's skin's a little too thin there. So if it's a true offense, maybe we need to approach that person and say, hey. But this is in the context of brothers and sisters in Christ. You look at it and you go on, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two others with you, and every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. This is obviously talking about church discipline. Okay, so just so you know, if somebody's offended you and you go to them and they don't respond, so then you take a brother in Christ and, you know, well, you know, I called you and you didn't return your phone call, so I'm offended with you. And they go, ah, that's kind of crazy. You don't bring it to the elder level. Okay? We don't bring this stuff to the elder level. Praise God, right? All the elders are going, yeah. We'd be like Moses day and night. We rule for that. We're not going to do that. So this is the elder. This is called church discipline. But we see as a picture here that there are some who, even when they're approached with what they've done, are going to be unrepentant. That's just the way it is sometimes. You look at Romans chapter 12, verses starting in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, so far as it depends upon you. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So even in this verse, we see that there's some times where you're not going to be at peace with all men. They're just going to say, no, I don't agree with you. You're being oversensitive, whatever it might be. So they may not come to that place of repentance. But we need to understand that regardless of what that person does, regardless of whether they repent or not, God has called us to forgive. That's what he has called us to, regardless of what they do. Now, again, you may need to tell them, hey, we need to sit down and talk because this really hurt me. But if that response does not come back with repentance or reconciliation, then we are still called to forgive. Now, in our flesh, we come, well, then why? What's the sense? What's the sense? And the sense is this, is that even if the person who has hurt you does not repent and that relationship is not reconciled, there are still incredible benefits for you to forgive others. Now, I know that sounds kind of self-centered, but sometimes, you know, you got to lay it all out, and it is in the Scripture. So there are benefits to the person who chooses to forgive others who have hurt them. Great, incredible benefits. And we want to start out. The first one that we see is simply this, is that forgiving others, for having a forgiving spirit, not just occasionally, but constantly releasing forgiveness to other people, can bring you personal, physical, and emotional health. It affects you physically. We touched on this real quickly one week, I think it was a couple weeks ago, but there is empirical research that confirms that people who forgive others, it's a pattern of their life. What they found is this, that they are healthier, happier, more peaceful people who are better able to empathize with others and are more spiritual and religious. I did a little digging. This was incredible. I found this on the Mayo Clinic website. Take a look at this. If you're unforgiving, you might. So now, this is a secular organization that says there are actually things that we can trace to being unforgiving or forgiving. Look at this. If you're unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience. Become so wrapped up in wrong that you can't enjoy the present. Become depressed or anxious. Feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. And finally, lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others. And as we go on, you're going to see that some of these are reflected in the Word of God as we see the results of being a bitter, unforgiving person. Look at this. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, stronger immune system, improved heart health, higher self-esteem. That's a secular source. And they're saying, we've done this research and we've found that these things, there can be a physical effect, physical and emotional effect, to people who choose to forgive others and people who instead decide to hold everything against everyone or, you know, just have a struggle with forgiving people. It's incredible to see this, because what we fail to understand is that when we forgive others, we free ourselves from anger and bitterness and possibly some of these physical issues in our lives, physical and emotional issues in our lives. We somehow think that when we choose not to forgive someone, we're hurting the other person. Brothers and sisters, you need to hear this very clearly. The person primarily hurt by unforgiveness is the person who chooses not to forgive. It's not the person that offended you or hurt you. Listen, I know people that are still bitter and angry at someone who is dead. They're dead. How in the world is that bitterness affecting them in any way? It's not. It's not. Unforgiveness hurts the person who chooses not to forgive, who chooses to hold it in. I've said this, I've used this word picture so many times because God just gave it to me one day. You know, we somehow think that when we choose not to forgive someone, it's like we've got them in a cage, you know? And every now and then, we're going to just poke them to get even. You know, we're going to remember what they did. And we're going, oh yeah, they did that. So we walk over, yeah, well, I'm still mad at you. We got it wrong. Because the person in the cage is not the one who hurt you. The person in the cage is you. It's not them. And an example would be in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about forgiveness. And during that time, I'm trusting that the Spirit of God worked in your heart. And there were times, as I would mention something, you would think of someone. And your natural response, if you haven't forgiven them, is anger. Ooh, yeah. Oh, you're not telling me. I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they did. I don't. As I said, I have no idea. But at that moment, what was that person thinking? You would think they were sitting somewhere out there watching TV or doing whatever thing. Oh, I bet you so-and-so is mad at me right now. Boy, that really makes me sad. No, it's you. You're the one in the cage. If you choose not to forgive, you're the one that's being hurt by this. It locks you up. And we got to get that. You know, somehow we think we're going to stew in it. And what happens is, as we continue to live in unforgiveness, what happens is that we become emotionally stuck in the past. We're in the past. Well, they did that 30 years ago. Yeah. And as I said last week, listen, I can't understand that pain. I'm not trying to diminish it at all. And I praise God that He has the power to take that pain away because of the cross. But the bottom line is that you're stuck back there. And it's holding you. And it's still controlling you. And God has so much more for you. He doesn't want that. He has set you free from the penalty of sin, separation from Him eternally if you're a believer today. He has set you free from the penalty of sin by the cross, and He has set you free of the power of sin. And unforgiveness is sin. And so He set you free from that. And all the bondage that comes with that, all the baggage that comes with that, we read the list, all that stuff, God has set you free from that by the cross because of His incredible love for you. Let it go. Let it go. And it may affect you physically. You don't even realize it, like that cold. You know, I got up this morning, thought I was okay, walked over from the park, and I'm dizzy, going, I'm still not over it. Could be true for your life as well. So the first thing is that when we look at the benefits of forgiving others, is that it will bring personal physical and emotional health. It just does. It affects us. The second benefit is that it will have a positive impact on the world. What? Take a look at God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You see what it's talking about there? It's saying that there's this sense that there's a root of bitterness that can be in someone. And that root of bitterness will be there, and it will have a ripple effect on other people. So it says, get rid of that. Get rid of that root of bitterness. Get rid of it. Forgive. Let it go. Because if you don't, there's this ripple effect. Many will be defiled. That's what it's saying. So, if we walk in forgiveness towards others, that ripple effect is not there. Or at least one of the causes is gone. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I get sick, I get crabby. Right? Anybody else get crabby, you know? Or else you kind of turn in and you just go, I don't want to see anybody. Yeah, you know, you grunt instead of answering. You want this, you know. Well, what happens is that we have that attitude and then those around us, right? It affects them. Well, gee, I'm just trying to help. And you see that ripple effect. And if it's like that with a cold, you can imagine that underlying unforgiveness. And we get short with people. We get angry with people. You know, something happens and well, I'm sorry, I was just thinking about something that happened to me. So now they're angry, you sin against them, and then they carry it on, and you just see how this thing can just get bigger and bigger. So by walking in forgiveness, walking in the joy of the Lord, the freedom that He gives us in Christ, it sets us free from that. And if the Scripture is correct, then that means that if we walk in forgiveness, less people will be defiled. There will be less opportunity for sin. Goes on in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And whatever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So there's something tied in to as we forgive, God will forgive us. Now we're set free from the penalty of sin. But there's a sense that there's some kind of an effect as we continue to read in Scripture that if we walk in unforgiveness, it affects our prayer life. It not only affects, I think, how we pray, but it seems to somehow say in Scripture that there is a result of the God responding to our prayer. Take a look again, Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy fails, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. From who? The person who hurt you. So there's this sense that, according to Scripture, you have somebody who hurt you. And so you see hard things happening in your life. So you do what you normally do, what I do in our flesh. Yeah! They're finally getting there. Oh boy, God, it's been a while. I can't believe you waited so long. You know, we say, oh, I would never do that. In our hearts, we can do that at times, all right? And so what happens is the Scripture is saying, listen, if you rejoice in your enemy being disciplined by me, I might take my hand off of him for a while. That's what it says. God be displeased and turn away his anger from him. From who? From the guy, the enemy. So in a very self-centered, fleshly, wrongly way, we want to say, okay, so I can't rejoice when it hurt because then it means God's going to keep giving him the wood. Yeah, oh, wait, I'm doing it. And you're in this really crazy circle. See what I'm saying? And what happens is there's something, that's what the Word of God says. So there's this difficult, this battle that when God brings discipline to this person, that we need to just not rejoice in that, but saying, God, thank you for loving them enough to do that. And I said, this is a positive. I said, the positive benefits of forgiving others. And I said, this is one of the ways that it impacts the world, the people around us. How is this positive? Because we're basically saying that as we truly forgive, one of the benefits is that God is going to keep pressure on that person. Here's why, because it doesn't. If I'm the person receiving pressure from God, that's not a good thing. But what we do is we look at the end result. Why is God putting that pressure on that person? Because if we go back to last week, we said one of the hearts of somebody who's truly forgiven others is that we want to see that person repent and be reconciled to both God and us. And part of that pressure that God is putting on them is to bring them to a place of repentance. It says that discipline is not pleasant, but it brings us beautiful, wonderful fruit of righteousness in our lives. And so God is bringing this pressure on this person who has hurt us, and he's trying to bring him to, or he's bringing him to that place of repentance so that we can be reconciled, and that's a good thing. But the process can be pretty difficult. It doesn't seem to be positive or pleasant, but it is. And by us rejoicing in their discipline, we could actually pull God's hand back. So one of the positives is when we walk in true forgiveness, we don't rejoice in that, and God continues to bring that, put pressure upon that person. And the Scripture says, like I said, that it almost seems like he's going to just step back. And part of it, I think, is for us. He loves us enough to do that. Because I think when I rejoice in my enemy being punished, there's an understanding, well, I still got to do a little more work in Dan. You know, so I'm just going to pull off. I'm going to pull off a little bit here. And I put a little more pressure on Dan. Because he's the one, I got to work in his life too. And so God will work in my life to bring me to that place of repentance and not rejoicing in that. And finally in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they're heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. There's a sense that we have to treat our wives in a certain way, in kindness, not in cruelty, in a way that so our prayers wouldn't be hindered. Well, the truth would be opposite as well. So it shows that when we walk in sin, any kind of sin, our prayer could be hindered. And I think it's hindered in many ways. And this does affect the world, because I find that I want to pray, I want to intercede for the world, because I see I can't change things, but God can. And so I just love prayer for that reason, because I can just go to God. And I find that when I'm walking in unforgiveness in my heart and God has convicted me of that, I find it harder to go to prayer. I don't know about you, but it does. And I see how that affects me personally. And so that affects how I pray. How do you pray for the person who has hurt you? If you've truly forgiven them, you can pray for them. But if you haven't, you can't. And so there's this bitterness and this anger. And so there's not that ripple effect in the world around us. Our prayers are more effective when we walk in forgiveness, because that's what it appears Scripture is showing us. It appears a judgment comes sooner. So there's a sense that it affects the people around us. As I said, the other thing too is as we walk in forgiveness, we aren't angry and upset all the time, which has a ripple effect on those around us. I'm not as short with people. I'm more kind. I'm more patient if I'm a forgiving person. And you can see how that affects those around me. You know, when you see someone who is going through a hard time or chooses not to forgive someone, you can just kind of sense it. You know, there's just something not right. And that happens in our lives. When we choose to walk in anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, it affects those people around us. It just really does. And we might not even think it does. It's kind of like that cold, well, I'm over it, I don't have that kind of effect. And it really does. And people, sometimes you can go back and say, hey, what happened to you 6 months ago? Why? Because your joy is just gone. Well, it's funny you should say that. I've been holding on to this, or this happened, and I've been really, really quite angry. I thought I forgive, but I haven't. And so you can see how when we're able to do that by God's grace and mercy, to walk in forgiveness, it affects those around us. It affects so much of who we are personally, but also those around us. And the third area that we benefit when we forgive others is, and this is just so obvious, and it should be our heart's desire as believers, is when we walk in unforgiveness or forgiveness, it glorifies God. It brings God incredible glory in so many ways. Take a look at God's word. Matthew chapter 18, starting verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus is saying, you must forgive people all the time. That's what he's saying. So when we look at this, we could see that that's a command to forgive those who have hurt us. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 12, forgive us our debts. This is where the disciples said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And he says, okay, pray like this, not pray this, but pray like this. And he gave him an example of prayer. And towards the end of that prayer, he says something that you know, as I have my quiet times and I pray, and I use this as kind of a prayer pattern. You know, you get to this and I start thinking, do I really want this, God? And it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do you really want that? I mean, if you're a person that's bitter and angry and unforgiving, you don't want to pray that prayer. That's a hard prayer. But God, forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that was the end of the prayer. And Jesus goes on and now comments, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. So there's a sense that there can be some anger that is not sin. That anger, though, is because the glory of God has been mocked, not our own pride. So many times we like to shove stuff into righteous anger when it's not. And so it's talking here about a righteous anger. But now it approaches the other type of anger. It goes, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give opportunity to the devil. So there is a sense in the Word of God that if we choose to stay angry and bitter, that we are giving an opportunity for the enemy. That's what it says in the Word of God. We're giving the enemy opportunity. Now, what does that look like? Could be all kinds of things. It'll have an effect in our marriage. It'll have an effect in our home. It'll have an effect in our relationships outside, our neighbors, our work relationship. It can have an effect all over. If you're a bitter, angry person, that's what it's going to be. Because you've given Satan opportunity. And it goes on. And verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. See, that's what we want. We long for that. Maybe part of that is we're not forgiving others, and that's why we can't, by God's grace and mercy, be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving others benefits you in that it helps you to see to be what you desire, what should desire in your heart, that you want God to be glorified. And one of the greatest ways that you can display the gospel in this lost, messed up, chaotic world is to forgive those who have hurt you. To grant forgiveness to those who have hurt you. Because in most cases, there is no earthly or rational reason to forgive them. But instead, you choose, by God's grace and mercy, to extend forgiveness to them. And that is something the world doesn't get. They'll say, you did what? They hurt you, and you forgave them? How'd you do that? Well, because I started thinking about all of my sin and how God has forgiven me. And you know what? How can I hold it against them? But you don't, and it'll confuse some people. Some people will get angry. Say, that's crazy. You Christians are crazy. You forgive other people when they hurt you? How can you do that? You're nuts. Hey, put me in that category. I'll be in that crazy column. Okay, that's a good crazy. But you see, some people will say, I've never heard anything like that because I did something years ago and my mom and dad are still angry at me about that. They won't forgive me. Or so-and-so hurt me and I haven't forgiven him for 30 years. How can you do that? And you see, when we're able to walk in the kind of forgiveness that God has given us, and that goes all the way back to 2 weeks ago, when we walk in that kind of forgiveness, it is a picture, a living picture of the gospel to a world that is lost, that is angry at people for no reason. Walk in the mall. Just look at people's faces. You can see the anger and bitterness on them. You know, what it took this week is it's so sad because the weather changes us and we can hide it, I think, for a while. But sooner or later, we go back to it. And we have this bitter, angry look on our face if that's what you're walking in your whole life. And I feel so sad. I said last week that there was some lady who decided that after 22 years, she was going to divorce her husband because he voted wrong. And you go, that's crazy, that's unforgiveness. That's more than one he voted wrong unforgiveness, okay? That's 22 years of unforgiveness piled up. And I'm guessing a lot of it wasn't big stuff. It was little stuff. And it kept piling up and piling up and piling up until he voted for the wrong one. So it's camel, final straw on the camel's back, and it's done. But see, the issue was she was living a life of unforgiveness. This was her second or third marriage, by the way, so you would kind of look at it and go, maybe there's an issue here. There's one common denominator. You look at it and you go, could that be it? Maybe. Maybe. But you see, what happens is that when we display forgiveness to those who have hurt us, and as I said last week, I can't imagine some of the hurt that some of you have been done to you. I can't. I know that we have a beautiful God who does understand. And I know that when Christ died on the cross, he set you free from that penalty of sin. That you don't have to fear an eternity separated from God. But that's not where it stopped. He died and he set you free from the power of sin. That the gospel has set you free from unforgiveness and bitterness. He's got so much more for you than to walk like that. And so, by God's grace, walk in forgiveness, and it'll be this picture of the gospel to a lost world that doesn't get it, and where they won't listen to you normally to hear the gospel. They will hear you being able to forgive that person and say, how can you do that? And open up their hearts to the gospel, let me tell you. So, it benefits you in that it glorifies God by tangibly displaying the gospel. It's also a way that you can see how you can walk in obedience to God. Because God says, forgive all. 7 times 70, forgive. And when we walk in that and we're forgiving people, we can say, you know, that's one area that I can see I'm walking in obedience to God. Another thing that it does is, as I said earlier, it reduces the provision for future sin. Like I said, that we have this constant cold and it affects you and you don't realize it sometimes, but many times you do. And if we are always short with people, always nasty, always kind of on the edge, and people are waiting for us to blow up, then that affects them, and they might cause them to walk in areas of sin that normally they wouldn't if we were just not walking in some of the bitterness that we're in. You know, I mean, it just, you know what it's like. You sometimes you can see it in entire families. You know, they just have a spirit, and nobody forgives anybody there, and it carries over in a bigger and broader ways. And finally this, it glorifies God when we forgive others because our fellowship with God is more open and joyful. And it's like when you know somebody's done something and, you know, like I've gone up to people and said, are we okay? You know, because I had no idea I offended them. And they go, yeah. And you go, oh, it doesn't seem like it. Are you sure we're okay? Yeah, we're okay. You just kind of know because the relationship or the fellowship isn't what it used to be. I think it's that way with us and God too when we walk in unforgiveness. Because we know that He wants us to forgive. And we know that we're not walking in obedience to Him in that area. And I think we kind of avoid Him. Like last week I talked about avoiding the person that we say we've forgiven but we really haven't. So they're at that door, so we're going to sneak out that door because we don't even walk past them. I think that can happen, an overflow of that can happen in our quiet times with the Lord. Because we know we're walking in unforgiveness. We know that doesn't please God. And so, we maybe hesitate or we don't pray for that person. Or, you know, it affects our fellowship with God. Now, I say fellowship, not relationship. Because one of the things that is the wonderful, one of many things that is so wonderful about the gospel and the power of the cross is this. If you choose to live in unforgiveness and bitterness, the cross even covers that sin. And the good news is that God doesn't reject you. He doesn't run away from you. Oh, Dan's not walking in perfect forgiveness here, so I'll forget it. Stay away from me, Dan. Stay away from me. See, that's not our God. That's part of His greatness and His goodness and His kindness, is that even when we choose to walk in unforgiveness, He still loves us. The blood of Christ covers it, and He embraces us, so that kind of awkward stuff that we have in our fellowship with God is not because of Him. It's because of us. We're the ones keeping our distance, not Him. And so He runs to us. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to remove that bitterness and that anger. So He doesn't push us away. We push Him away. And that's why our fellowship with Him is disrupted. It's not as sweet as it could be, as if when we're walking in forgiveness to those who have offended us. There's just a sweetness. There's an ability to pray and fellowship with the Lord in just a different way when you're not walking in that anger and that bitterness all the time. And so that's another benefit for us as believers, as we walk forgiving those who have hurt us, that even our time with the Lord is just sweeter and more open. I wish I could go in more detail, but I think those of you that, most of us can get our heads around that. And I don't want that. I mean, boy, to look at it and say, you mean my unforgiveness can have an effect on my fellowship with the Lord? Well, sure, just like any sin can. So what we want to do, we want to desire to have those things put aside by God's grace and God's mercy, that we would walk in forgiveness. God commands us to make forgiveness a part of who we are. He wants us to make it part of our lifestyle. You know, you have your regular quiet time, it's just part of who you are. Well, forgiveness should be like that. It's just part of your lifestyle. You just forgive those who have hurt you, those who have offended you. Because forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. It's a decision that we make and that we must practice at all times. You have to get in the habit of forgiving. You know, and that's why I say, listen, forgive the little things. Forgive the little things. And as you forgive the little things, it'll be easier for you to forgive the big things. Some people, man, they don't forgive anything. It's amazing. It's amazing what people hold on to. And they won't forgive little things. But as we let the little things go, no, he didn't mean to he didn't leave his socks in the middle of the floor just to make you mad. As Lisa would always say, you know, he's not doing that. He's just being Dan. And he doesn't mean anything by it. And so she's not going to hold that against me. And so what happens is we release the little things. It's like lifting weights. We lift the light weights first. Why? So we can build up to the heavy weights. It's the same thing with forgiveness. Lift forgiveness for those little things. And when the big things come, you'll be better able to forgive. Always hope that others will repent and ask for forgiveness. That's our desire. That's our hope for them. But the Lord doesn't make that a condition for our forgiving them. Whether they ever repent or not, we are still called to forgive. And regardless of what that offender does, you as the person who is forgiving can reap wonderful eternal blessings by obeying Scripture and being Christ-like and forgiving those who have hurt you. And that, brothers and sisters, is going to take the Holy Spirit to empower you. But if you're a believer, He dwells within you and He can enable you to do that, because that's what the gospel bought, and that's the way that Jesus is, and that's why it glorifies God for us to forgive all those who have hurt us. Let's pray. Lord, You know the hurt. I can't even grasp some of the depth of the hurt. But God, Your word is still Your word. And what You call us to do, You enable us to do. So I pray for those who are struggling with forgiveness now. Lord Jesus, would You release them from that bondage? Would You set them free from the power that sin has over them? And God, would You cause them to walk in forgiveness in such a way that they would see it permeate all areas of their lives. Lord, do this miracle so that Your name would be exalted and glorified. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and continue.